How many times have we seen people, quite obviously guilty, get away with the crime that they've committed? Often through a streetwise, highly paid lawyer, or through a legal loophole that's been exploited, they got away with it. Or did they? We need to know, for the way that we answer that question will decide just how vigorously we work at ridding problems that we have and the sins that we commit. It will show whether we truly believe in the most important basic tenet of good and evil, of right and wrong, namely that we reap what we sow. And that's the sermonette title, You Reap What You Sow. When it comes to God's spiritual laws, we can feel that sometimes the laws let us down. We may sometimes feel that the wicked can prosper and the righteous don't get their reward. Why do we feel that way? What can make us doubt? Probably because we see so many apparent exceptions to the rule, that the rule itself, that we always reap what we sow, seems to be of little effect. The first exception that tries our belief about the law of cause and effect is the age-old belief that who you are makes a difference. We may feel that the wealthy, or the famous, or the powerful can do what they want and yet still prosper. But this thinking is wrong. Let us look at a biblical example. Abraham was faithful and obedient to God and increased in wealth and power. Certainly, if the law of cause and effect, which is reap and sow, were to be suspended just a little bit, then surely it would be for Abraham. But it wasn't. For in spite of Abraham's legendary faithfulness, he was not perfect. He unwisely took his wife's handmaid as his concubine and had a child, Ishmael, by her. His wife Sarah became jealous and ultimately demanded that Abraham cast out his son. Let's read Genesis 21, verses 8 to 11. Genesis 21, starting in verse 8. So the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing. Therefore she said to Abraham, "Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac." And the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son. Abraham grieved because of the unwise decision that he had made. He suffered because of his own mistake. He reaped what he sowed. Another so-called exception to the rule is the belief that time alters the reap and sow principle. That is, if the penalty or reward for an act doesn't come quickly, it isn't coming at all, and hence the law of cause and effect is broken. But what if a farmer thought this way? What if just because the seed he planted on Monday hadn't sprouted by Tuesday, it wasn't going to sprout at all? Or if it did produce, he would get beetroots when he had planted carrots. Ridiculous? Well, of course it is. But we human beings may do bad acts and then we may think that we simply got away with them. Or we can do good and then become discouraged simply because the gain or pleasure that's supposed to follow takes a while to come. Some crops can produce quickly. For example, others take longer, but their season will come in due time. Radishes are ready to eat in as little as 21 days. Snap beans, green beans, or string beans all take between 50 and 60 days to mature for harvest. Many varieties of sweet corn can take up to more than 100 days to grow. And Brussels sprouts, if you like them, can take 110 days to grow for harvestable size. Let's review Ecclesiastes 8, verse 11. A very well-known scripture, but one that is so appropriate. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 11. Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. How true that can be. And conversely, how quickly we become discouraged from doing good works if the reward doesn't come back to us almost immediately. Yet like a boomerang, our good works and our bad works will always come back to haunt us or to bless us. Perhaps one of the most insidious mistakes is to believe that you do not reap what you sow, but that you reap what you think you sow, or what you say you sow, or what you wish you had sown, or what you want others to believe you have sown. But we must realize that we reap actually what we sow. How ridiculous it would be if a farmer planted a full field of wheat thinking he was planting carrots. Would he receive carrots instead of wheat just because he was innocently mistaken? Or because he wished he had planted carrots? Or because he told his neighbours he had planted carrots? Of course not. He would reap what he sowed. And so it is with us. If we deceive ourselves, even innocently, or deceive others, perhaps intentionally, it doesn't make any difference whatsoever. Our spiritual crops will be faithful to our acts. So we reap what we actually sow. It helps to see what the supposed exceptions have in common with each other. The answer is that in each case, the observer who looks at himself or others and concludes that we do not reap what we sow is only looking on outward appearances. David almost made this mistake in Psalm 73. He saw that in this world, the wicked sometimes seem to prosper. But when he finally looked inside people far ahead in time, or even into God's future plans for punishment or reward, he concluded, "Evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." That's Psalm 37, verse 9. We will reap what we sow. Think about what this means. It means that our lives are not the result of time and chance, but of cause and effect. We are not merely a victim of circumstances. We need not worry about blind chance, politics, who knows who, or whether man will reward us or punish us. God always will in the end. Those who make wise decisions today will be developing a good habit which will be beneficial in the future when further decisions will have to be made. It's good news for those who make these right decisions, but an alarming and a fearful thought for those who currently might be involved in unrighteous activities. The website grammarist.com puts it this way: you reap what you sow means you get what you deserve. Whatever you put your time, talent, and energy into is what you get back. You reap what you sow means you must eventually face the consequences of your actions. The proverb, "You reap what you sow," is also expressed as you sow, so shall you reap. Let's look in Luke 6, verse 38, where we read a very positive statement that Jesus gave about this process. Luke 6, verse 38. Luke 6, verse 38 says, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." Remember that God told Adam and Eve that if they ate of the forbidden fruit, they would die. Satan told them that they would not die. Adam and Eve ate of the fruit because they believed Satan's lie. They believed that they would not reap death when they sowed disobedience, but they were wrong. They were dead wrong because they were deceived and they did die. To finish the sermonette this morning, Galatians 6, verse 7. This verse sums up the whole matter and is my favourite verse in the Bible. Galatians 6, verse 7. This is what God says. He says quite simply, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap."